Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called The Habits of Happiness. In these lessons, Pastor Rick dives into the book of Philippians and helps you discover God's path to true and lasting happiness. Now, we're excited to let you know that very generous friends of Daily Hope have stepped forward with a special $50,000 matching grant. That means any gift you give now will be doubled up to $50,000. But the grant expires at midnight at the end of this month. So contact us right away. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Grow Healthy Relationships.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says it again. I thank God. I thank God for the help that you gave me. Now, if you know the story of this church that he started there, there was a woman named Lydia who was a businesswoman who opened up her home. And he says, from the very first day, you welcomed us. And you helped us from the very first day. And then, as I said, several times in Paul's travels, the Philippian church was funding Paul's missionary journeys. And in this particular instance, they had sent a man named Epaphroditus all the way to Rome to bring him a financial gift, because Paul was in Rome by himself in prison. And Epaphroditus had nearly died on the way. We'll get to that later in the book. And now Paul is sending him back with this thank you note to the people in Philippi. And he says, I thank God for the help you gave me. I just wonder, what is it that you have forgotten that other people have done for you? Again, the longer you know someone, the more you take them for granted. The more you look for their faults. And the more it's easier to remember the bad things than the good things. See, the truth is about Paul in Philippi, he didn't have a good time in Philippi. In fact, it was one of his roughest churches getting started. But you don't get any of that in this letter. The fact is, when Paul went to this city to start a church, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was humiliated, he was falsely arrested, he was thrown in a prison, he went through an earthquake, and then he was politely asked by the city leaders to leave town. When I thank God for you, I think of you, I thank God for you. What is he doing? He is choosing selective memory. This was not a happy place all the time. It wasn't all sunshine and lollipops and roses and rainbows and My Little Pony. It was a lot of bad stuff that happened. But Paul chose not to dwell on painful memories. Are you still living some painful memories with some people in your life? You've never let them off the hook. And you can't enjoy a relationship because you're still holding on to the past. Would you write this down? Memories are a choice. Memories are a choice. I remember hearing a story one time about two women talking, and one of the wives said to the other wife, said, don't you remember that time when your husband did da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And she said, I distinctly remember forgetting that. That's a choice. Your memories are a choice. Now, if you want to hold on to your painful memories, go right ahead, but you're not going to be happy. Paul had a lot of reasons to have painful memories in Philippi. It was not a happy time for everything that happened there. As I said, beaten, maligned, and all these things. But he says, every time I think of you, I thank God for you. He's choosing to be grateful for the people in his life. Now, in this series, I'm going to give you what I call happiness hints. And I'm going to put a little HH next to these happiness hints. And here's the first one I want to give you in the whole series. Remember the best and forget the rest. If you want to be happy, remember the best and forget the rest. Develop selective memory. By the way, September 21 is World Gratitude Day. Did you know that? It's World Gratitude Day, according to the United Nations. I want you to go home, make a list of the people in your life, and write down 5 or 10 things you can say, I'm really grateful for these things in their lives. It's the first habit. The attitude of gratitude will transform your relationship. If you're not grateful, you're going to have all kinds of complaining, worrying, all kinds of other things. I've got to be grateful for the people in my life. Number 2, The second habit of happiness in relational happiness is this. I need to not only be grateful for the people in my life, I need to pray with joy for the people in my life. I need to pray joyfully. I need to pray with joy for the people in my life. Now, Paul is praying, as we just read this passage, praying for these people. How would you like to have the Apostle Paul praying for you? You think that would help? The guy who wrote much of the New Testament? Wouldn't you like, don't you know those Philippians thought, hey, this is pretty cool. Paul is praying for us. Doesn't it encourage you to know when somebody is praying for you? Yes. Yes, it does. It encourages you. In fact, the thing that keeps me going is your prayers. And when people say, I'm praying for you, Pastor Rick, I take that serious because it's what I move on. It is that power that I move on. Paul says in verse 4, he says this, I always pray for you. Now, that's part of it, but notice the rest of the verse. And I make my request, when he's praying for you, he says, with a heart full of joy. Now, I want you to just a minute, think of somebody who irritates you. Don't look at them, just think of them. Okay? Maybe somebody you've got a strained relationship with, or they just kind of rub you the wrong way. I have two questions for you. Number one, do you pray for them? Okay, do you pray for it, or do you just complain and grumble and nag and nitpick? If you prayed more, you'd have a lot less to grumble, complain, nag, and nitpick about. So you can decide, does nagging work? No. Does prayer work? Yes. So why do you do more of the thing that doesn't work than does? Paul says, I pray for you. And you need to pray for the people in your life. But then he says, I pray for you, making requests with a heart full of joy. When you do you pray with joy? Now, let me give you a little secret here. There are things in people's lives around you you'd like to change. You don't want to change yourself. You want them to change. If she would just do this, if she would just do that, if he would just do this. And we always want to change other people. You can't. You can't change anybody. You cannot change anybody. They can only change themselves, and you can only change yourself. So all of that trying to change your change program doesn't work. But you can pray, and God can change people. You might write this down. Positive praying is more effective than positive thinking.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Most people look for happiness in all the wrong places. You won't find it through money, fame, or power. You'll only find real, lasting happiness by following God's commands. That's why Pastor Rick created the Habits of Happiness Bible Study. You'll discover how happiness runs deeper than any circumstance, feeling, or relationship because of God's unconditional love for you. This interactive, full-color, hardcover book is filled with biblical truths, scripture, practical lessons, application exercises, and prayers to guide your journey. It's a comprehensive study tool that will help you experience the biblical habits that lead to true and lasting happiness. This Bible study is available only on Daily Hope, and quantities are limited. By the way, all this month when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, generous friends of Daily Hope are going to match your gift up to $50,000. But you only have till midnight on June 30th to make your gift go twice as far. Call 800-600-5004 to get this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com.
Once again, here's Rick.
Positive praying is more effective than positive thinking. You know, people read all these books about positive thinking. Well, okay, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm sure I'd rather have you thinking positively than negatively. But all the positive thinking in the world isn't going to change your husband or your wife or your child, or your friend, or your situation. Positive thinking is not enough. Positive thinking can change you, but it can't change somebody else. But positive prayer can. So positive prayer is more powerful than positive thinking. So I want you to write this down. Here's my little happiness hint. The quickest way to change a bad relationship to a good one, the quickest way, start praying for them. Start praying for them. It'll change you, and it can change them. Start praying for them. You say, well, what do I pray? Well, I would encourage you to pray what Paul prayed. And in verses 9 to 11, we have what Paul prayed. Here's what he says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, and that you may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What does he say? Four things you can pray. Write these down. Four things. Pray, and I would say pray these for your kids, pray these for your friends, pray these for your boyfriend, your girlfriend, pray these for your boss, pray these for me, anybody you care about. Pray with joy for the people in your life, and you pray these four things. First, pray they will grow in love. Pray that they will grow in love. Paul says that your love will grow more and more. Number two, he says, pray that they will make wise choices. Pray that the people in your life, in your family, in your friends, in your neighbor, pray that they will make wise choices. Verse 9 and 10 says that you will know and fully know and understand how to make the right choices. Third thing to pray for the people in your life, pray they will live with integrity. Pray that they will live with integrity. Paul says, I pray that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. And the fourth thing to pray is pray that they will become like Jesus. Parents, there's your prayer agenda right there. Husbands, wives, friends, there's your prayer agenda right there. Pray that they will become like Christ. Verse 11, that you will be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Circle the word fruit. What fruit's he talking about there? Well, we call it the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness and faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and self-control. What is that? It's a perfect picture of Jesus. Now, these four things, you can pray them for me any day of the week. Pray that I will grow in love. Pray that I will make wise choices. Pray that I will live with integrity. Pray that I will become more and more like Jesus. You can pray these for yourself. You can pray these for your spouse. And you know what? You can know they will be answered. Why? Because they're in the Bible. This is not a prayer you go, if it's your will, God. This is God's will. It's in the Bible. So you know God wants to answer that prayer. So the first thing I do, I have to be grateful for the people in my life. And second, I have to pray and actually pray joyfully. Not with complaining, not with criticism, like, oh God, why can't you get this man and mine in shape? That's not praying joyfully. That's praying whinily, crankily. No, pray joyfully. And here's what you pray. Number three, here's the third habit, Paul says. And it's in the next verse. I must expect the best from people in my life. I must expect the best. Now, these things are so simple for me to teach you, but they are so hard to turn into habits. We don't normally expect the best from the people around us. We expect the worst. We expect them to let us down because we have a track record. Now, he's saying, you want to make a habit of believing in people rather than criticizing them. Expect the best. Philippians 1 and then verse 6 is the next verse. He says this, I am confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now circle the word confident. I am confident of this, that God who began the good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm expecting the best from the people in my life. Now Paul is a pro at bringing out the best in people. And I want to teach you how to do it right now. There are three things that you do to bring out the best in people. And Paul does all three of them in this verse. He says, here's how I bring out the best of people. Number one, you just write this down, he believed in people. He believed in people. He says, I am confident. And he gave them confidence. Do you give the people in your life confidence or do you tear them down? Do you build them up or do you tear them down? Do you give the people in your life confidence? In the last series, I gave you an illustration about what a good parent does when a child stumbles. Do you remember I said, if a child is running a race and you're at the track watching them run a race at school, and all of a sudden they really mess up and they stumble and they fall flat on their face and they embarrass themselves and you're in the stand as a parent, what do you do? You don't get up and say, oh, I'm so embarrassed, I'm leaving. You know, how pathetic you are. A bad parent would do that. But what does a good parent do? A good parent stands up and yells even more, you can do this. Get up, I believe in you. I know you can do it. Come on, get up. I know you can. This is just a minor thing. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about anybody else. Just keep on running. That's what God does with you when you stumble. It's what God wants you to do with people in your life when they stumble. That's what it means to be like Jesus. Paul says, I believe in people. I give them confidence. I help them grow. I am confident that what God has started in your life, he's going to continue to do. You see, we all need people to believe in us because it's how we change. You can't change unless somebody believes in you and you believe in yourself. Acceptance always precedes transformation. That's why I always say, you know, don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it could be. Sometimes, you know, I train pastors in preaching. And sometimes pastors say, well, I just tell it like it is. I say, well, okay, but that doesn't change anybody. Tell it like it could be is preaching for faith. I could get up here and say, you know, you're all not doing a good job. And I could tell you all the areas you're not doing a good job in. And what would it do? Just make you defensive. It wouldn't change you one bit. And next week you go, oh, let's go back and have Rick whip us some more. Some people actually are spiritual masochists. Oh, pastor, that's such a great sermon. It made me feel so bad. I'm going, what? No, that's not it. Nobody changes by nagging. It doesn't happen in the pulpit or anywhere else. So don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it could be. If I help draw a picture, say, this is what you could become. This is what you could be with God's power in your life. Then you get excited. Paul says, I'm confident. I believe in you. The second thing he did is he gave people vision. And the vision was, you're going to keep growing. What God starts, he finishes. He's not going to leave you halfway out there. He gave people vision. He painted a picture of the future. Now, why is that important? Because study after study after study shows that we tend to live up to the expectations of other people. When people expect the best of you, you tend to do better. When teachers expect the best of their students, they always perform better than teachers who don't expect the best from their students. That has been proven over and over again in studies, that we tend to become what we believe the most important people in our lives think about us. So Paul says, I expect the best from people. I believe in people. I give people vision. And the third thing, this is really important. You write this down from this verse. He was patient with people's progress. I am confident that what God's began in you, he's going to keep on and he's going to carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He was patient with people's progress. Now, why is that so important to your happiness? I'll tell you why. If you insist on perfection in people, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life because there's nobody perfect, especially you. And if you're always expecting perfection in people before you can enjoy them, then you're never going to be happy because nobody's perfect. Paul says, I am patient with people's progress. Now, let me give you a little happiness hint on this one. You write this one down. If you want to really be happy in your relationships, if you want to have happier relationships, healthier relationships, celebrate how far people have come rather than judging them for how much they still have to go. Celebrate people for how far they've come rather than judging how far they still have to go. You got to be patient with people's progress. When my kids were little, they would draw me pictures and they would bring it to me and they'd say, what do you think of this, Daddy? And I would say, that's perfect, Amy. That's perfect, Josh. That's perfect, Matthew. It looks great. And when I said that perfect, did I mean it was a Picasso? No, it was perfect for that stage in their life. God doesn't wait until you're mature for him to start loving you. So you shouldn't do that with others either. You got to love them warts and all. You got to be patient with their progress.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you've missed any part of this message or you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle.com. Be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. Right now, we have some really exciting news. Generous Friends of Daily Hope have offered a $50,000 matching grant. That means whatever amount you give to help share the hope of Jesus worldwide will be matched up to $50,000. So $25 becomes $50, $100 becomes $200, and $500 becomes $1,000. Whatever amount you give will be doubled by the grant. But don't wait, because this opportunity will be gone at the end of this month, and we'll miss out on any amount left over from the grant if not matched. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you, that's discipleship, and we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. Now, you know, I don't take any funds from this broadcast. We don't have any giant million-dollar donor who's giving big gifts to this. It comes from daily donations from listeners like you. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me. Pray for me and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
When you give to Daily Hope, you're helping share the hope of Jesus with people everywhere. And right now, your gift will be doubled by the $50,000 matching grant. Call 800-600-5004, or you can visit PastorRick.com. And we'll send you Pastor Rick's The Habits of Happiness Bible Study book to say thanks. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.